Well, good morning and Happy New Year. As I get ready to pray for us, I know there's a lot of illnesses, sickness throughout our congregation, various people, maybe you know personally, you don't know. So as I begin to pray this morning, I want to ask you to take some time to pray for those people in your life that may be struggling with some version of an illness right now. I know there's some flu going around. There's some, I just don't feel like being in the new year going around. But let's join in prayer. Father, it's good to know that you're with us this morning. God, I'm thankful today that I serve a living God, a God who cares, a God who loves, a God who is mighty to save. And God, as we have been worshiping you in song, now may we just worship you by looking at your word and sharing some thoughts and phrases together. God, I thank you that the calling you have on each of our lives is awesome. God, I'm also thankful at the same time, though, that that calling is not meant to be lived on our own. God, I thank you today that as you are speaking to us, that God, you will continue to reveal what's on your heart. Now prepare our hearts and minds for this. God, I do pray for those who might be hearing my voice right now. They're struggling with some type of don't feel good. God, I pray we'd feel alive on the inside, that we'd feel of vibrancy in our spirits. As I ask for the outpouring of your spirit, I ask for your healing. I ask for your healing upon those that are connected with us. God, I think one of the things that when we get sick and does to us is it destroys that illusion of how much we really control. God, I pray for us to make this personal to you. May we honor you, may we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we begin this new year together, I know that the fact is that some people do look forward to a new year. Some of us dread New Year's. Some of us just don't really care. It's just the next thing in life. But I want to declare before you this morning, today, as we begin this new year together on our first Sunday together, is God is ready to move within His church body. I pray that you are willing to join God in what He is doing in your personal life so you can impact your own personal life through a vital relationship with Him and impact the world we live in. Now, that's something we talk about from time to time, but I want you to come alive realizing something today is that today is an awesome day to begin to align yourselves with God's purpose in your personal life, to allow God to do some refreshing, to allow God to give you clear vision. This morning, I'm going to begin a very short series on who God called the Sycamore Church to be. How do we get our name? What is God stirring on our hearts as a congregation as we move into this new year? You know, God is not going to waste a moment. God will not show up late and He will not arrive early. He'll be right on time. And I pray that your heart will be open to the work of God that He's wanting to do in your life. Because you might think He is speaking to you for somebody else. I assure you today He is speaking to you for you. I assure you of that. So I declare today before you that God's Spirit is moving. I declare to you today that God's Spirit is alive and doing very well in the earth. The church is growing. There are people coming to Christ. There are people being healed. There are people being delivered. We are seeing the kingdom of God advance. I think sometimes for just me, not necessarily you, I got to quit counting the cracks in the sidewalk or quit trying to text illegally driving down the road. I confess my sin. I'll pause and let you confess your sin. And I'm being serious. I think one of the things that God is doing this year is look up, look around, look unto me. Look up, look around, look to me. So this morning we're going to begin with the Sycamore Church and lifting people to see Jesus. That is part of what God has called us to be. That's a purposeful statement. Lifting people to see Jesus. Some of you know how we arrived at that name. But some of you don't know how we arrived at that name. The story gets to be told afresh today and how God is wanting to speak to you through this story. It's a story about Zacchaeus. It's found in the book of Luke. Of the four Gospels, this is the only place that it's mentioned. It's written by Dr. Luke. It's in chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We're going to read this story. And like I told you, there's really no period in the end of this message today. It's just going to be a comma as we continue it for the next few weeks. But how God's going to stir on your heart, how you want to join Him is your choice. What's He going to say to you? How's He going to move in your life? So we begin with Jesus and Zacchaeus. Some of us are old enough to remember a little song, I think. I'm not going to sing it. He was a wee little man. He climbed up a tree. All that good stuff. Maybe Miss Terry could do that for us one day at Treehouse. But it's a story that I'm telling you that God has placed on our hearts to give us clarity, to remind us of who He has called us to be as we move out into this world. The Sycamore Church lifting people to Jesus. How do we arrive at this name? Jesus entered Jericho and He's made His way through the town. What town was that? Jericho. There was a man there. His name was Zacchaeus. By the way, Zacchaeus, this should be ironic as we go through the story. Zacchaeus means pure one. Pure one. Zacchaeus was a long ways away from being pure. Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus. Pause for a second. I want you to pay close attention to look. Look at Jesus. But he was too short to climb over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road. For Jesus was going to pass that way. A sycamore tree. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come on down here. I got to go be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. Ah, there's always going to be those group of people. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Four times. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. Before I get to my points, I want to make sure that we're on the same page with the story. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector in a city named Jericho. It was not the same Jericho that the walls fell down. This city was built south of that Jericho. Okay, it was a newer city that Jesus decided to go through that day. Zacchaeus, being a chief tax collector, here's the way he made his money. He collected taxes for the government, then he added a little on the top for himself. Okay? But the funny thing is, not in a ha-ha way, but in an irony way, is he was taken from his own people. So a Jew taken from Jews, ooh, that was bad. Because let's face it, you don't like being cheated by a stranger, but you really don't like being cheated by family. And basically, he was cheating his family. So Zacchaeus, as a chief tax collector, had become wealthy by taking from his own. Not those foreigners, not those Gentile Romans, not those Gentile so-and-sos. This was by his own people. He'd become wealthy. But Jesus comes into the picture. Very literal, by the way. Zacchaeus has to have a desire in his heart that I believe was placed there by God before Jesus arrived. So point there to think about is Jesus was only going where God had called him to, but God was already working on somebody's heart. Zacchaeus had given him a strong desire. I need to see this man that I've heard about. I need to lay my eyes on him. I'm not going to listen to somebody else's story about him. And by the way, church, that's a good word for us today that's not a point, is for you and I to live out the purpose that God's called for us, we don't live vicariously through somebody else. We don't live through somebody else's experiences of God. Those are to encourage us. Those are to challenge us. Those are for God to speak to us about. But it has to be a one-on-one thing. So Zacchaeus said, I'm not going to listen to somebody else's story of what's going to happen. I'm going to make the effort to see Jesus. And he comes along something that God in His sovereignty had placed there, a sycamore tree. And he climbs up it. The tree simply lifts Zacchaeus to see Jesus for who He really is. Not hearsay, not jumping around on the crowd, not trying to figure out the best view. He wanted a perfect, clear sight. Now listen to me. He wanted a perfect, visual of who Jesus was walking by at that moment. He wanted to see. And then Jesus does something, well, the naysayers, the complainers, the whiners, those other people. You see, we all have other people in our life. But see, we wouldn't have done that. We'd have been cheering Zacchaeus on and saying, man, look, Jesus called you. Those other folk, though, were like, he called that sinner. Zacchaeus, it means pure one. He is far from pure. He's more like mud. He's so impure, he's more like mud. And Jesus goes to his house. Now, this is a very interesting part of the story before I start going through my points. There's no recorded miracle as in a deliverance, a healing of that type. We would maybe sometimes call that a power encounter. It's just simply the presence of Jesus at his house that Zacchaeus says, something in me has to change because of my proximity to him. Because I'm so close to Jesus that something in me has to be different. I can't stay the same because I didn't value myself enough that I had to cheat others to make me feel valuable, but Jesus shows up at my house to show that I am invaluable. You see, the people, the grumblers, those other people, the other people, by the way, in our lives, they're those other people that gossip, those other people that cheat on their taxes, those other people that drive down Abercorn with a sinful attitude. Those are those other people that when you're in line trying to check out, that honest to goodness, they couldn't read, it said 15 items or less, not 15 items or more. By the way, I'll call you out if I see you in that line. Okay, but don't call me out because I'm not the other people. Okay, you see, the other people, so often is us people. But Zacchaeus realized that the Savior of the world had decided to pick him out. Others saw sinners. Jesus saw an opportunity for salvation. So as we look at the Sycamore Church and lifting people to Jesus, we're going to keep it real simple for us today. Why? Why? Why would we do something like that? Point number one will tell us, why do we lift people to see Jesus? Why make the effort? Others can see the one true Savior. In the course of your life, you have the opportunity, the privilege, the blessing, the calling, the purpose to lift others to see Jesus through your actions and your attitude, who God is pointing out for you to be praying about, who to be praying for, who to invest in. The tree didn't get a say in where it was going to be planted. It simply grew where it was planted. The tree wasn't looking around saying, the grass is a lot greener over there. I wish I was over there. The tree grew where God had placed it for a divine purpose. Here's my point. Going into the new years, we're lifting people to see Jesus. How much of your time is spent on ifs and buts? I wish I had, I wish I could have, I wish I should have. Maybes, ifs and buts. How about just saying, God, wherever you planted me, give me a heart that wants to grow. God, I'm tired of playing. God, I'm tired of being mediocre. God, I'm tired of sitting with my arms crossed playing church. Seriously, what's your attitude towards Jesus today? The one true Savior. The strong pull on Zacchaeus' heart was probably immeasurable. Because here was somebody, now listen to me very carefully, that probably should have been taken out behind the woodshed and had a good beating put on him. Because that he was stealing from his own people. So he was so tugged upon to see the living Christ that he put himself in a vulnerable position. He went up into a tree. He got above the crowd. And I have no doubt that when he put himself up there, others probably were talking about him. There's that Zacchaeus. What's he going to ask Jesus for? Is he going to try to take taxes from Jesus? Does he know who he's messing with? We have the privilege to lift others to see Jesus. But if you want to sit with your arms crossed, not literally, but spiritually today, then how are you lifting to see, or how are you lifting people to see the one true Savior? And I emphasize today, the one true Savior. Because let me tell you, our world is full of Saviors. There is unlimited people willing to fill the void of, I've got you covered if you'll just follow me. I don't really go into bookstores anymore because there's this thing called Amazon Prime. Okay. Matter of fact, I don't even go get my library books. I have an app on my phone literally, I have an app on my phone that any library in the state of Georgia, I just go on this app, pick out a book, CD or whatever, they just deliver it to me to the library by the Savannah Mall. So I can get one from Northwest Georgia. They just bring it to me down here. I just cruise by, pick it up real quick. I want you to see today that we are putting efforts into things. Are we putting efforts into things that are eternal? Eternal. We have the privilege to see one true Savior. His name is Jesus. It is personal. Next point. Others might catch a glimpse of what Jesus can do in them. Look, you and me have not caught a total glimpse of all that God wants to do in us because we have not arrived yet. But on the journey of lifting people to see Jesus, we're hopeful, we're prayerful, we're faithful to say, God is doing a good work in their life. How do I join them? It is always worth the effort. So others might catch a glimpse of what Jesus can do in them. I believe when one of the things that happened in Zacchaeus' life when he climbed that tree was he was taking literally a step of faith. I believe he was acting upon a God-given desire that says, I cannot stay the way I am any longer. I've got to make a change. I cannot go on like this anymore. The burden of living against the will of God is so great that a change has to happen. The pain of staying the same was greater than the pain of making a change. And I want you to know something. Most often, our first step in seeing the power of God is just simply saying, God, I trust you that you will take care of the details of the change that needs to take place in my life. Will you start with helping others by lifting them to catch a glimpse of what Jesus, the one true Savior, can do in their life? Next point. We stand on the shoulders of somebody else's prayers, somebody's time, money, resources, effort. The list that I could provide to you today would fill a wall, and that's if I just kind of wrote that big. I was thinking the other day about a guy that was my youth leader. It's funny. Two of those guys sitting over there, Josh and Wade, they came home about December 12th or something, 11th from college, and literally, and you can tell if I'm exaggerating, we have played close to 100 games of tennis in the last 3 weeks. And no matter what they say, I want all of them. And not only do I love them, I love all of you, but what greater privilege to me that I would say to spend with them and others. But my youth minister in college, he was one of those guys, his name was Kevin Coots, and he was one of those guys that had that testimony that in the church, if we don't think it meets some great life change, that our testimony doesn't matter. And what I mean by that is he was the guy in high school that had a bag full of marijuana and the cops pulled him over and he swallowed it. But he encountered the one true living Savior. And let me tell you, I was in middle school. And I'm not the smartest guy now, don't laugh, but I'm definitely was dumb as dumb in middle school because I was in middle school and I was a boy, okay? But I realized later in life when God allowed me to have this privilege of doing this, somebody that took the time to take me to the Dairy Queen and to play basketball with me and to sit and just be. And that list could go on and on and on of the shoulders of people that I stand on today that lifted me, that lift me. Because I know a lot of you pray for me. You pray for us. We are standing on your shoulders. You are lifting us to see Jesus, to be Jesus. So you are standing on the shoulders of other people to be Jesus so others can see Jesus. Do not take that for granted. Do not take that for granted, because there's a lot of people that wish they knew today just somebody cared about them, much less prayed for them, much less was willing to invest in them, much less willing to spend 5 minutes for them. We live in a world that the rise of loneliness and depression is going so fast that literally prescription drugs can't keep up with it. Literally, can't keep up with it. So as we think about the Sycamore Church and lifting people to see Jesus, because others are lifting us. It's just not a past tense, it's a present tense going on into the future. What a privilege to be part of that. And the last one on this point, Because we're commanded to do it. Are you willing in 2019 to take the Great Commission out of a suggestion box and make it a lifestyle? Are you willing to take it out of the category of, I don't understand, I don't know all about it, to just say, God, I don't know all about it, I don't understand, but I'll be a useful tool in the hand of a mighty God. That I'm willing to submit, I'm willing to surrender, that I'm willing to see life change occur in me to happen through me. To not sit with spiritual arms crossed, not to sit with spiritual arrogance, not to sit with, I don't know, or hide behind something else, but just simply say, God, I surrender, because helping others see Jesus is the greatest calling, the greatest privilege that you'll ever have, that I'll ever have. So often, I think most of us get caught up in that hamster wheel of life and we lose sight that we have the privilege and the responsibility to lift others to see Jesus. So why? So others can find and see the one true Savior, Jesus. So others can catch a glimpse of what He can do in them. And others have lifted us, so let's lift others. And because we're commanded to do it, are these things doable? Absolutely, they're doable. Would God tell us, command us, call us to do something that He wouldn't enable us to do, give us the desire for us to do, and walk with us? Absolutely not, because He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But as part of that, He also said this, in this life, there's going to be some trouble. You see, I didn't say about easy. I didn't even say that it will just fall at your feet all the time. Although I'm going to make a promise out loud to you in 2019, so you can call me back at the end of 2019. You begin to say, I truly desire to lift people to see Jesus and watch how the opportunities unfold before you. They may not look like you. They may not talk like you. In fact, you may try to avoid them initially. But when you surrender and say, I'm done playing, I want to lift people to see Jesus, watch what God places right before you. So I have some questions for you to think about this morning. What view of Jesus are you giving people through your life? What view of Jesus is Dane giving the people in my life? How about those times where I get irritated or aggravated over nothing? How about those times where I don't want to join God in what He is doing? But how about those times where I begin to get moved by people that are going to hell without the one true Savior? How about those times weeping and praying? How about the times that God is moving in our hearts to see more? Because I believe this. I believe the people I'm looking at this morning and others who aren't able to be with us, I think you want more. I really do. I think you want more. I want more. But as I get down on my hands and knees every single morning and do this, I say, God, I know I want more of You, but God, I know there has to be less of me. I don't get to have more of You and get my basket of me to carry along and pull out of when I want it my way and not Your way. So what view of Jesus are you giving people through your life? What changes is God asking you to make so God can use you to lift people to see Jesus now? Be honest with yourself this morning. What changes? Notice I didn't put it singular. It's plural. What's your attitude? What's your mindset? What changes is God asking you to make so God can use you to lift people to see Jesus now? And the last one. I know what it says up there, but here's Dane's. Are you with us or not? Because all that we're doing is seeking a living God, because there's a vitalness to that relationship that cannot be replaced by anything. It's God. It's only God. It will be God only tomorrow, and it will be only God the next day. So what's your commitment level to this body of Christ? And I'm not going to give you some scale. You know, I'm not a telemarketer. I'm not one of those crazy surveys that I get to unsubscribe to every email when someone sells my email address on me. Okay? I don't really care about what a mongoose is being sold for in some foreign country to give me a survey on it, okay? You know what total commitment looks like. And you know why you know what total commitment looks like in life? Because you expect it from others around you. And when they don't have total commitment, how does it make you feel? How does it make you think? How does it stir in your heart? What do you think about them? What would you like to see be different in them? So what's your commitment level to this body of Christ? And I would even add this little caveat. How has God challenged you to raise that commitment level? How is God asking you to sacrifice, surrender, and replace Him with all that's not God with that which is God? I am convinced 100%. You and I hear from God crystal clear. You may not always understand what He's saying, but I think often you do. I think often I do. It's easy for Dane to hide behind, "I'm not really sure that was God. I don't have to question if it's God or not God if He's asking me to forgive somebody, to let go of anger, to tell somebody about Jesus, to love with a pure heart. I don't have to ask those questions. I know it's God. I believe in my heart of heart, you know and you hear God crystal clear." So how's God raising this commitment level? How is God wanting you to begin to lift people to see Jesus just so they can see Jesus? No accolades, no names remembered, may not even know who you are, but they knew they encountered the living Christ. And I'll leave you with one more thought. This is Dane's verse of the year. Not Sycamore Church, not Kathy's. This is Dane. About 2 weeks ago, I was reading, and for those who have not experienced this, let me explain something to you about this verse. I was not reading in 2 Kings chapter 17. I was reading about idols. And this verse was about idols. And I read this verse, and as far as I'm concerned, Dane was in the tree and Jesus was looking up reading this verse to me. That's how crystal clear it was. I read, "They worship the Lord, but they also serve their own gods in accordance with the customs of the nations from which they had been brought." Let me give you a little context in that verse. That verse was during a period of time in the Old Testament when the Israelites had been exiled. And one of those kings, the king of Assyria, had decided he needed to repopulate the land. There needed to be some more folks hanging out. The weeds were growing up too fast. The animals literally were taking over the land. So he picked a few. He sent them back to Israel. Not Israelites. He picked a few people from other nations. "I need you to go back. I need you to inhabit this land. I need you to hang out, keep the wildlife down, keep the weeds down, grow the garden, build houses." They went back. They began to live in the land. They began to just live life. Things didn't go too well. And somebody had an epiphany because God spoke to them. This land that was given to the Israelites, there's one God here that's to be worshipped. And so the people ask a question, and I think this question is very pertinent to us today. How do we worship Him? How do we worship this God of the Israelites? And some priests said, "This is what you must do to worship Him." People said, "Cool, we're good, I can do that." But you know what they had forgot, didn't understand, made an excuse, sat with their arms crossed spiritually? They thought they could worship the living God and serve their own idols. I'm telling you today, church, first Sunday in January 2019, we need to take real inventory of that verse. Real inventory. They worship the Lord. We showed up on Sunday, but then they serve their own gods. What you invest in is what you're serving. It probably doesn't serve you much at all. What you invest in is what you're serving. They worship the God, the Lord, but they wanted to serve their own gods. You see, they wanted it both ways, but in essence, they wanted it their way. And God said, "That didn't work. Enter Jesus." So this morning, I want you to really take inventory of your life. The Sycamore Church, how do we get our name? From a sycamore tree that held Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, so he could see and experience and become part of the gospel story. Because I'm not going to continue on this morning about it. I will probably work on it next Sunday a little bit as this. Salvation came to not just Zacchaeus, but to his household. How many do you have in your life that you have influence over that you would love for salvation, a real life-changing salvation experience to happen? Maybe it starts with you. Maybe it starts with you. Maybe it starts with me. Do those people see me worshiping the Lord and serving other gods? Do those people see me or hear me talk about a God, but then they hear what else I say that's not of God? Do they know what I watch, what I listen to, what I participate in? Lifting people to see Jesus. That's the why. So I'm going to pray for us. I hope you got a card on your way in. Take your prayer requests, take your praises, take your thanksgivings. What a wonderful act of worship to just simply think about all that God has blessed you with. God's blessings in our lives never are depleted to empty. There's a mountain. So Gary, if you want to come on up. You know, one thing about that tree right there that John has a picture of for us is this. It's probably not perfect, but it's doing exactly what God intended for it to do. So those questions I asked you earlier, how are you going to align yourself with God beginning in this moment to do exactly what God intended for you to do? Let's pray. As our guys come on up for some prayer time, Dustin, Rick. Oh God, I thank you today that many times I don't deserve for you to be gentle, but you are gentle. But God, I thank you today that you love me enough that you won't be gentle all the time. God, I pray that what you're speaking we won't shove to the side or put around to that great category that we're awesome at. Get around to it. God, we bless you. Lord, how about today if we didn't ask anything from you, but we ask you to give us the strength to give everything we've got to you? Lord, it doesn't sound, it's not easy. I'm not praying for them, I'm praying for me. God, I want the surrender. I am blessed to be a blessing. These next few moments, if you want to come to the altar, you want to bring up your card, your envelope, you want to go pray with somebody, it doesn't have to be somebody that's standing up, it can be somebody else, that's all fine. Just join God in what He is doing and saying in this moment. The cards are envelopes, you can do that this time. There is a basket by the back, too. I'll give you a couple more minutes. Continue to pray and just let God stir on our hearts this morning.
About 3 weeks ago, God kind of gave me a experience, I guess you could say. I guess I want to start by reading this, and then I'll explain what I mean. This is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, part of my issue is when I get emotional, it comes out of my nose as much as my eyes. But, yeah. But, we were singing, and I believe it was O Holy Night, and sometimes I just have to close my eyes, and I just have to try to think about, I'm kind of visual. So the vision that I got was that I was standing in front of the manger, and in my arms was the baby Jesus. And the first thing I wanted to do was just put that baby down. Because, I mean, we all know who he is. He's the hope of humanity. He's the King of glory. And I don't want to mess that up. But the thing about it is the Father is right there. And he said, hold my son for the world to see, because I'm holding you. And that's what it is. He's holding us, and we're holding him. And we just got to hold on. And we got to trust that he's holding on to us. And that's what Christmas is all about. And I know it's like, well, Christmas Day is past, but we know that there's 12 days of Christmas, and today's the last day if you keep up with the calendar, but we know that Jesus grew up, and we know that he's been where we've been. And I guess that's all I need to say right now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, bless you. You get that picture? Wow. That's special. We're so glad to have the O'Kearys all back in Georgia where they belong. All right. Now, for you three O'Keary children, you know your parents believe in arranged marriages. And they do consult the man of God. If you don't believe that, I'll let you listen to it on my telephone. Just want y'all to know that. Before I pray for us, pray us out. On Friday, a dear saint of God went home to be with the Lord. Donna Landolt's daughter-in-law, Lisha Landolt, finally God decided to heal her cancer by bringing her home. Her service is going to be next Saturday. Richard, her son, her oldest son, Richard, her husband, is one of my oldest friends. And he texted me, he said, "It's a glorious day. She's at home with the Lord." So I just want y'all to be praying for this family. We thank God for his unspeakable gift, which is salvation forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to us today through your servant, Dane. Lord, as he spoke, Lord, you were speaking to my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for answers to prayer. Thank you for the life of Lisha Landolt. What a blessing she was and is in your kingdom. I pray comfort for Richard today and for all of her family. May they feel your presence. Not like you are with them, but you are God with us. Thank you, Jesus. Now send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit to be your church. In Jesus' name, amen.